Welcome to this sample audio clip, which comes from the series entitled Multi-Hull Conversations with Jim Brown. In this recording, Jim speaks to self boat builder and trimaran sailor Larry of Hybea. Larry shares how he got into boats and found that he could learn how to build his own multi-hull by taking a class taught by Jim and John Marples at the Wooden Boat School in Maine. In the full audio, Larry discusses how he personally built his 40-foot trimaran named Hybea out of wood using the constant camber construction method, and speaks with Jim about some of the great sailing experiences he's had and how his life has been influenced by his love of boats, particularly this large cruising trimaran. You can find out more about this historic audio conversation series with Jim Brown at www.outrigmedia.com.
Today we're speaking with my old friend Larry of the good trimaran Hybea, and I'm anxious for Larry to tell us how his boat has really shaped his life. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Okay. I wonder what year it was that you and I met up there at the Wooden Boat School. Do you remember?
I believe it was 1987.
Wow, that was a while back.
Yeah. 1987. I didn't know what to expect, you know, because constant camber. What was that?
I wasn't familiar with it. For the listeners, John Marples and I were teaching a class at the Wooden Boat School that summer up there in Maine, and Larry was one of our students. And more than anyone that I've ever had the privilege of teaching, Larry, I think you have grabbed that technology transfer and really run with it and shaped your life around it.
It sure has. It was, to me, you know, boat building was sort of like Chinese almost, learning Chinese. You know, I was thinking, you know, plank on frame kind of building. And then I know from my experiences on being aboard some sea runners, you know, about the plywood and plywood on frame. However, that seems still a lot more complicated than I was ready to attempt. So I thought, you know, this idea of constant camber was something that was more manageable. And so I thought, well, let's see what, you know, the course had to offer. Well, this is going back to 1987. I don't know if you want to go back a little bit further than how I wound up thinking about going to the Wooden Boat School.
Yeah, Larry, that'd be great. Tell us what in the world made you exercise such a bent in judgment as to get involved in boats.
Yeah, well, let's see. Well, I had, when I was in between years in college, I don't know, freshman and sophomore, I was offered a job to teach small craft at a camp up in Maine. So I had to, in order to get qualified, I had to get a Red Cross certification, which would be in sailing, canoeing, and rowboating. So I took this course up in Sebago Lake, Maine, and that was wonderful because besides learning all the techniques of canoeing, which is kind of interesting, we had a nice small monohull boat, but no motor, so we had to learn how to, you know, really teach sailing, so got all the basics down, and then we also had to learn how to sail up to a mooring. And that was really interesting also, because now you had to rely on the wind, no motors. And so, and any course you have to teach, you really have to bear down and get it right. So that was my first real learning of sailing. And years later, I moved out to Florida to become a scuba instructor. And from that, I got out onto the water a lot. And one day saw an advertisement for a 18-foot pocket cruiser. It was pretty cheap and needed a little fix-up, but I decided to go for it. And went up and down the Florida Keys with it, and then decided to go over to the Bahamas.
Hey!
To the Bahamas out. And so that was an interesting also experience, because, you know, the navigation was really crude. The only thing we had was on board was a compass. So I had left from around the Key Biscayne area. And the night before, there was a family aboard a small trimaran, and I think it was a Piver, Nimble, I believe. And so I went on board, and we were looking at all the charts and trying to figure out courses and currents and wind. And that was kind of my first real being aboard a trimaran. And then I left and spent some time and made it over to the Bahamas. And it was kind
of... What was the crossing of the Gulf Stream like for you? Were you by yourself, Larry?
Yeah, I was by myself, 18-foot boat.
Man.
And it was a cutter rig. It was a real cool boat, had a lead keel, I did, you know, manage to, I was a little bit, you know, for about 5 or 6 hours going across. I left at midnight, and, you know, I didn't know where I was for a lot of the time out there, because I didn't see anything. But then finally I did see a powerboat coming in sort of the direction of Bimini, so I thought I was close, and then saw Bimini and wound up a little bit north of it, because of the Gulf Stream was running pretty good. When I turned the motor on and managed to get into Bimini, and then from Bimini all the way down through Nassau and then into the Exumas, and it was really a nice experience. I kind of like went aground a few times, but was able to jump overboard and push off, because it was, you know, that kind of boat, and you know, I had a shallow draft. It was, I think, it was 3.5 feet. So, you know, just cruising in that area is very, you know, wonderful, I should say.
Yeah,
then,
boy, once you've seen those gin clear waters on the Bahama banks and reefs,
yes,
it's hard to beat.
Yeah. So I got the sailing bug pretty bad there, and then I'm going to give you the long version here. So I eventually got the boat up to Martha's Vineyard a couple of years later. And I was living on a small little beach house right in Vineyard Haven. And on the beach there was a Dick Newick trimaran. I'm not sure which one or which kind, but it was pretty large. And so I met the owners. I think there was two young fellas, you know, college age or maybe a little bit older. And I helped them step the mast and launch the boat. You know, they had used anchors to pull the boat off the beach, with come-alongs, and then eventually they took everybody, they took a whole bunch of people out sailing with it, and that was like really exciting. So that was another trimaran experience. And then, so I saw the potential, but it was sort of like still, it was, you know, like I said, there's no way I could like figure out how to make something like this. Well, anyway, many years later, I was in the Bahamas on a different boat, a monohull, and I was by myself again. I do a lot of single-handed sailing over the years. And I ran into this nice couple on a brown Sea Runner 40 in the Exumas. And we were doing a lot of diving, snorkeling diving, and going from island to island. And eventually we caught up with another Sea Runner and a McAlpin Downey Iroquois. And all these sailors were a little bit, they were sort of either, they were attracted to that kind of boat, the boats that were, popular in the 70s that people had either built or, they bought boats that people had built. And they were a different crew, they were a different mindset. They weren't like the yachties.
yeah, they were seasteaders.
Seasteaders, exactly. And there was one couple that I met. They had their daughter on board. She was born on board, and they were originally from the Pacific Coast, north, I think Oregon, and they had been cruising, came over to the Atlantic through the canal, and they were just like so nice, and everybody was like pretty nice and wild also at the. At the same time, and I was kind of attracted to that. so we were. I was trying to follow everybody in my boat, but everybody was. The story was they would leave like an hour, half, 2 hours after I had left, and then they'd pass me on the leg down to the next island, which would be like 25 miles or so, and then by the time I pulled into the anchorage. They already have their dinner made or cocktails out or something like that.
Yeah.
And I said, there's got to be something to these multi-hulls. They seem to be a little bit quicker, well, actually a lot quicker. And also the other interesting part about it was I was restricted because I had like a 5'8" draft or something. And, of course, I could only anchor out quarter mile or more from protected coves, and they were like sitting nice and gentle right in the shallows, and I would be rocking and rolling further out at the anchorage. So I said, shallow draft, that's another factor I like about multi-hulls.
Yeah.
And then somebody had a sailing magazine on board, and then there was an advertisement for a class by Jim Brown and John Mopples up in Brooklyn, Maine, teaching a new boat building technique called constant camber. So that's how I found out about it.
My gosh, Larry. Yeah, God, those contacts, they seem to just reverberate through our lives. For you to do what you've done with your boat and let people know about it, I remember that 2 years after the class in Maine, you showed up with your boat.
That's right.
for the class that was running that summer.
That's correct. Yep.
Thanks for listening. Come and join us by signing up for this historic audio conversation series with Jim Brown at www.outrigmedia.com.